Fantasy Edge with Richard Seville and Dennis Sosik.
Hello and welcome to Fantasy Edge, the Fantasy Edge. I am Richard Seville, FantasySixPack.net. Joining me shortly, Dennis Sosik, also of FantasySixPack.net. Well, we're testing out a brand new thing here to go on YouTube, and I don't know why people like to watch YouTube, not listen to YouTube, but we're going to go on there. You know, pressures of the job. But we've got two games that are going on Monday night. It's a doubleheader Monday night. The Bills are playing the Titans, and a little bit later on, actually, the other game is starting quite soon. It's the Vikings and the Philadelphia Eagles, so that'll be good. But today, I'm happy to say that we've got our waiver rankings from the experts. Last week, I don't know what happened. Week one, I guess it took a while for people to wake up, but we're going to be talking about that in the news and any other things that sparked our attention this week. So, with that in mind, I would like to bring in Dennis Sosik, and here he is right now. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Richard.
How are you doing? There's one thing I forgot to mention is that we have Davis Peng is here this week with Peng's Picks. So, some point during the program, we shall visit and see what he has to say with his picks, what he's talking about. So we're into week three. The season is well underway. We finally got our big injury of the year so far. Major quarterback that was trying to break out. Trey Lance out for the season. I hope you don't have him, Dennis.
I took a shot at him in one of my leagues, but I picked Cousins in my backup just in case, so that'll work out for me. And I mean, Lance was a wild card going into the season, so you don't know what he's going to do. And you cast slow start last week, and then unfortunately, you know, he got injured. And Jimmy G is back. You know, 49ers are getting a little smart now for hanging out to Jimmy G.
And he looked good too against the Seahawks.
Yeah, he did.
So
yeah, he runs that offense very well. I mean, he's not a game changer, but he's game manager, so he keeps within the game usually.
Yeah, good player. They're lucky they didn't trade him, or they. Yeah, I don't know, Mullen or who is it? I don't know. Mullen, I guess, the next guy. But
I don't know who it is anymore.
No, I don't know who it is anymore. But actually, they've always had kind of good backups for such occasions. But Jimmy G, yeah, he'll do. He'll do quite well. We'll talk about some quarterbacks to pick up. Quite a shocker. We'll talk a little bit about the games on Sunday, but we won't go on it. I know everyone is eager to get into these waiver rankings, and we will get into that shortly. But Mike Evans will not play next week because he got into it with Marshawn Lattimore. So
yeah, yeah, they have a long history.
Yes,
those two. Yeah, he's protecting Brady, so I guess, you know, he was, it's in his mind, but anything Lattimore would do, I think, would set him off, so it doesn't really matter what Lattimore did, but he was, Evans was protecting Brady, and he kind of took a nice shot at him. And I'm not sure, did Lattimore get suspended as well, do you know?
No, he did not. I asked our resident injury guy, Mr. LaPlante, and he said, nope. Evans is the only one. There are, I will say, fines being handed out to other players, but Evans is the only one getting the game suspension.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't see anything come through, but I thought maybe it came across late. I didn't get a chance to see it, but yeah, I mean, his was kind of a cheap shot. So I mean, I could see them doing something to him, which was understandable.
Yeah. And, I'm just looking. This is not on our news sheet, but, I will mention that Michael Pittman, making good progress, and he could play in week three. So
I hope so. I needed him.
Yeah. I went without him too. The way the Colts played this weekend,
oh yeah. What was that about?
I'm not full of confidence with them, but I don't know. Maybe the Jaguars are getting better. You know, they certainly look.
Sure. I don't know about that good. I mean, it was probably a combination of the Colts playing like crap. you know, Jaguars was playing with some enthusiasm and, you know, they kicked their butt. I mean, shutting them out. I mean, holy crap. I never thought that would happen. Taylor didn't, I mean, he had some good runs, but in the beginning, he wasn't doing crap either. So it was a big, head zero for a lot of Colts players.
Yeah. J.K. Dobbins, week to week. When is Dobbins going to get on the field full time? I mean, it's going to be, I'm not seeing much from the other backs like Hill, Davis, and Drake. They're not really, I don't think we're picking any of those guys. I mean, I can't trust any of the running backs. We say that about every team, but usually one guy can, you know, sort of poke his nose ahead. And we thought that was going to be Kenyon Drake, but I don't know. This past weekend, I haven't looked at the stats of the players. I should get that up, but to see how their running backs did, because it was a big scoring, bonanza fantasy fest with, right. With Miami there. So, I'm just going to take a look. I'm just going to take a quick look at the stats and see how the running backs did. I always do these things on the fly, folks. You know, that's what we do.
It's live. It's live. So, you know,
it's live. That's right. That's live. Right.
Right. I doubt they did much.
Yeah. And also, with Pittman out, you know, a lot of people were saying Nyheim Hines. Well, no, he didn't do anything. Paris Campbell, I picked up and got a nice goose egg.
Right.
Yeah, that was terrible. But the Colts got a goose egg period, so it didn't matter. I mean, if the Colts were scoring and he got nothing, then okay. But since the whole team was crap, you know, just don't know what to say about it.
That's embarrassing. Yeah. I mean, what is Frank Reich doing over there? He's supposed to be some kind of offensive genius, but he is not looking like a genius anymore. He's becoming an issue. And obviously it wasn't Wentz in Indianapolis that was causing the problems in offense. Maybe it was right the whole time.
I
mean,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Because Matt Ryan didn't look like any kind of NFL quarterback yesterday. He was supposed to be a veteran. He didn't do crap.
Yeah. Let's see. Justice Hill, 2 carries, 4 yards. Kenyon Drake, 11 carries, 31 yards. You know, in a game like this, but I mean, it was passing. You're seeing Bateman catching. You're seeing Andrews catching. You're seeing, you know, and that, of course, that big run by Lamar. So, you know, there was just no room. There's no room for running backs on the Baltimore Ravens. It's Lamar.
And they're going away from the running game.
Either, you know, it's Bateman or even this guy Duvernay. He's, you know, I think he's worth picking up. But we'll talk about that when we get into it. What other injuries have we got to talk about here, Dennis?
Yeah, Jerry Jeudy.
Oh, yeah.
For his shoulder. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know what's going on with another offense that looked like didn't play well either. The Denver Broncos, I mean, what's going on there with all... With Wilson there, they thought that offense would pick up, especially with Jeudy and Courtland Sutton and wide out. I mean, Sutton looked great, but Jeudy got hurt, and then the offense went downhill. I mean, that Nathaniel Hackett, he's becoming a hack as a game manager and as a play caller. He's doing some stupid-ass crap out there. I don't know what he's doing. And Wilson doesn't look like he's there anymore. I don't know if it's just slipping or he's just trying to get used to the team or a combination thereof. But either way, I mean, a lot of people counted on that team for offensive production, for their fantasy team, and they've been a big letdown.
But of course, as we say about September, we don't know. We'll see in a couple of weeks of where things stand. But right now, you know, you're not dropping anybody. You're right about Courtland Sutton. He was a bright spot there. Caught a touchdown. Caught two, didn't he?
No.
Just the one. Yeah,
over 100 yards.
Over 100 yards. Yeah, it doesn't seem like, but, you know, from what I saw, of course, I watch on Red Zone, so I only see it, you know, partially. And also, I didn't watch right until the end, so I missed some of it. But what was the final score? I don't have it, but I'll get it right now. Just because we got to have these things. I think, you know, like, what do they do? Just get on here and just, yes, we do.
They still won. I mean, they still got
they still got
16-9.
16-9, okay, right.
Yeah, it's not what you signed up for when you, you know, drafted those players. You know, I mean, Javonte Gordon is still playing carries, and Russell's not playing well. So, I mean,
especially against the Texans, who are kind of, right, we're not expecting much out of.
Exactly. Right.
And
defense is not.
Yeah, but at least they're 1-1. They got a win on the board. Jacksonville, I think Jacksonville's showing a lot more promise. I mean, if they can shut down I don't know who they're playing next week, but I can tell you who they're playing next week.
The Chargers.
Chargers.
Oh, yeah, that could be ugly.
Yeah, Chargers will be able to take them.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, finally, Dalton Schultz. The Cowboys continue to get injuries. And this is kind of an annoying one because, and the Cowboys won, which is, you know, kind of big.
Yeah.
With Cooper Rush, everyone was kind of worried about him. Played all right.
Yeah, he played well. He did well. I mean, Tony Pollard stepped up. Noah Brown, we'll probably talk about later. He got a little chemistry there with Rush. So, I mean, they look good. I mean, Schultz is going to be, it's kind of a big injury. Hopefully he's okay, but I think it's similar to what Elliott had in the PCL. I'm not sure how severe it is, but see, I mean, he's going to try to play through it, I guess, at least try and see what he can do. But, I mean, he's a big target out there for Rush. And hopefully when Prescott gets back, he's somewhat healthy enough to contribute.
Right. Okay. Well, I think what we'll do is that we should get into these quarterbacks that you're going to pick up. And here's the list of, this is from the Fantasy Pros Week 3 waiver ranks. I got them hot off the press. So, would you believe they've got Jared Goff, I guess Tua Tagovailoa, it must be, because if they're over 50% owned, they don't put him on there.
Yeah, so that's a cutoff, right?
So Tua is not on there, but I still think Tua is probably available in a lot of leagues. But anyway, Jared Goff number one. Would you put Jared Goff number one? That Lions look good. The Lions are getting competitive. They're saying we're not going to take this anymore, and man, they're not.
He has the volume that passes. I mean, he threw for 4 touchdowns, you know, on Sunday, through 2 the first week. I mean, you got Amon St. Brown, who's stepped up and has been a stud receiver for him, and maybe they scored 71 points so far. The season's tied with the Chiefs for the league lead. So, I mean, they're scoring. I mean, they're getting pushed to playing Cousins and Vikings this week, so you know that's going to be a shootout. I wouldn't mind picking up Goff if you don't have Prescott or worried about Matt Ryan or something. Picking up Goff is not a bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. Especially like right now, I'm looking to replace. I've seen 2 games of I really had hopes for Justin Fields, but 70 yards is just not there, man. That's just not doing it. That's Tebow territory. That is
Tebow territory. Wow,
it is.
I know, it's embarrassing. I mean, you do watch that game last night where they were, they weren't even letting him throw the ball. I mean, he had I think he has 28 pass attempts so far in over 2 games. I mean, you gotta let him throw the ball. I mean, they're just killing that offense. They're not giving him any chances. You know, the offensive line is, you know, playing okay, but they're not gonna try to throw the ball. I mean, they're not gonna, you know, Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmetic could be nothing. Fields, they're not gonna be someone you wanna play until they open up the offense.
Yeah, and quarterbacks are quite important right now, with Prescott out and now with Lance out. You know, you gotta get. So Goff being number one, you know what? I was impressed with Marcus Mariota too. Losing effort, I think. And,
They lost.
31-27, but it was, he's competitive and he's playing, well. I want to see his, running stats, his rushing stats. That's kind of what interests me. He only said 16. Well, he had 72 the week before.
Right.
So.
Yeah, he had some, he had some pretty horrendous plays toward the end of that game. But he missed a couple of players that he had a chance to pull that one out of the, you know what? I mean, but, you know, I mean, they played 2 tough defenses, you know, back to back, playing against the Bucks and then the Rams. The Saints and then the Rams. So, I mean, this week they play against Seattle, so it should be a lot better. But, you know, if he doesn't start, winning, I mean, we may see Mariota sitting on the bench. You know, we may see, Ritter start playing. But he's still playing well enough, I guess, to succeed. But, I mean, London was playing out of his mind.
That's what actually saved Mariota, actually, is, 86 yards and a touchdown. Yeah. So That was pretty good, and he got 12 targets from Mariota. So there's obviously some chemistry going on there, and I'm not so sure. You might think that Mariota's on a short leash, but I don't know if there's chemistry going on with Drake London, who is a guy that the Falcons want to get going. Yeah. Anyway,
they need to get Kyle Pitts going. That's what they need to do.
Yeah.
Why don't get him going? I don't understand. I mean, I think he's like in the ranked 15th among tight end targets through 2 weeks. I mean, yeah, I know Arthur Smith is kind of stubborn, but I mean, you got to give Kyle Pitts the ball. Give him an opportunity to do something.
Yeah.
I didn't even give him a chance of.
Mm-hmm. He's number two on the list. We got Ryan Tannehill who's playing today, so we'll talk about him. Matt Ryan. I don't get that. Daniel Jones. No. Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah. Yes. I think he's a guy you can pick up if you want to just go one to one. That is, I don't know, but I mean, when it comes to quarterbacks, you really have to. It's kind of your waiver shopping has to be very, very careful because there's other people with, you know, that are just as good. And you might, you know, even with Tua, like Tua had this big game. You don't know what's coming down the line with him. But he sure looked good, man. I mean, remember we were saying before, can he, if he plays like he played against the Ravens, he'll certainly be able to support 2 1,000-yard receivers. I mean, both Waddle and Hill did great.
Yeah, that was phenomenal. I mean, he captured that. I think he won over his teammates with that performance. I mean, he looked great. And what a comeback with them. And Tyreek and Waddle, they looked, you know, unstoppable out there. And Ravens defense looked, I mean, they were out a lot of defensive backs. But still, they were playing pitch and catch out there with those guys. So
yeah.
It's good to see Tua. I've always kind of was negative toward Tua, but I think he kind of won me over with that game. I think he did with, obviously, you know, Miami teammates and hopefully some fantasy managers as well.
Yeah, I guess you could call it his breakout game.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. You know who's, I was looking at the list. You know who's surprisingly not on this list?
Who?
If you had a guess.
Let me think. Trevor Lawrence?
No. Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco?
You're going to laugh. Yeah. Throwing over 300 yards in consecutive weeks. I mean, you know, he had that crazy win against my freaking Browns yesterday when the Browns just coughed up a W, which, you know, we won't get into because I don't want to start drinking again. But
that's another W. They nearly coughed up a W against the Panthers.
I know they're just looking for ways to lose games. I mean, that's just strictly embarrassing. I don't know what their defense is doing, but their special teams as well. But that's another story for another day. I could talk about that for the next hour, but we won't. But yeah, Flacco.
I mean, so you're impressed with Flacco. Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, so you're impressed with him.
I mean, he's getting the job done. I mean, he has the weapons on the outside. He has two good running backs. I just saw he got announced he's going to start this week against the Bengals. So I would I throw him out there if you need someone to stream. If you're sick of Ryan, if you couldn't get Jimmy G and you lost Lance, I mean, to get Flacco as a temporary fill-in, I wouldn't balk at that too much.
Oh, before we start talking about Goff, like Goff is the number one of the experts, I wanted to talk about Amon-Ra St. Brown. And is do you think Amon-Ra St. Brown is leveling up?
I think so. I actually was very negative about St. Brown coming into the season because I thought he got more of his production at the end of the year because, you know, Swift and Hockenson both were down, so they had to give him the ball. He's the only option on the field, but he's proven me 100% wrong. I mean, he's looked like almost unstoppable out there, and Goff is feeding the ball. And he's producing. I mean, you can't deny the production. So
I was
totally wrong on that.
I was sort of expecting WR2, you know, kind of like he doesn't look like a WR2. He looks like a WR1.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like a top 12 receiver. Looks like
I should have ranked him higher in my draft rankings. He's a presence on the field. And that's one thing I know, you know, you can't see. I mean, maybe I should have watched some of the Detroit games, like in the off season, a little bit more, and I probably would have seen that. But you know what it is, you know, like it's hard to watch old news, right? I mean, it's you know, but if you're serious about fantasy football, you got to do these things. Which is why I watched all the preseason games. But I mean, I felt like last year I'd seen enough of him to sort of think, okay, yeah, he's decent. He's definitely a guy you want in your fantasy draft. He's a guy to target, but not, I didn't kind of expect him to be like elite looking.
Right.
So he's,
he has been.
Yeah.
He's proven me wrong. I never thought he would be, but I thought he would be. Plus, you know, they added more weapons, and they just took a Jameson Williams is going to be coming back sometime this season as well. So you add another weapon to their offense. I mean, and Goff's going to have those weapons out there. He's, I mean, everyone, he doesn't make great decisions, but fantasy wise, I mean, he produces. So yeah.
He's got wheels too. I saw him running a bit there. He's
A
little bit of running there, the Goff, you know. He's, I don't know. I get, well, he comes out of the Rams system, so he can't be all bad. But, But good coach. I got to give some kudos to the coach here. Is it Peterson is his name?
The Lions coach?
Yeah.
Dan Campbell?
Campbell.
Yeah. He's done well in that team, and he's got that team energized and, you know, playing together. So you got to give him credit.
That's two competitive games in a row. I mean, they might make some noise. We'll see. Let's get on to running backs. The number one running back on the list, Mostert.
Yeah, I think it's more or less a no-brainer to have him as number one. I mean, he was the number one running back in that game. He did well over Chase Edmonds. I mean, he played 55% of the snaps, saw the goal line snaps. I mean, and he has a relationship with Mike McDaniel, the current coach, when they were together in San Francisco. I mean, if he's healthy, you figured he was going to get that nod, but we didn't know about his health. Right now, he's healthy, but how long that lasts, we'll see. But right now, you got to take a chance on him. He's probably ready. I'm surprised he's not taking in more leagues, but a lot of that's probably because of the fear of his health.
Mm-hmm.
But I have him in some of my leagues. You got to take a chance, stash him on your bench, and see what he can do for you.
Yeah, but you have to sort of remember, too, that the game was, the game was an air show, but I mean, Chase Edmonds, people can't be happy about that.
No, I know. I put him as a sleeper this year, and he hasn't done anything for us. So I'm kind of worried about that. Yeah, I have him in my leagues figuring he would do well in that offense, but he's not looking so good right now.
Of course, as I'm looking here, I see that big, luscious 469 yards and 6 TDs by Tua. Tua's breakout game.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Raheem Mostert, number one. Brian Robinson, number two. I think that's, he's kind of a holder. We're still kind of waiting. Guy got shot. Daryl Williams, number three.
Yeah, a lot of that has to do with James Conner's ankle injury. I mean, they said he's okay, but you know, he came out of that game and Williams saw, you know, goal line snaps, and I think he's trusting more pass protection than, you know, Benjamin is. I think he's an option. I mean, like I said, they say Conner's okay, but Connor has a injury history, so you never know what's going to happen with him. And Williams, you know, we know with him in Kansas City last season, he succeeded. He played well, and so he has the pedigree to do well in any offense.
Now, I would have thought an Emo was the guy, you know. Eno, pardon me, not Emo.
Or Emo, too. Whatever floats your boat, I guess, right? Yeah, I mean, he did well. I mean, he's more of a, he's listed as the number two on the depth chart, but I don't think Williams got more of the run than Benjamin.
Mm. Yeah, so, yeah, 8 carries, 59 yards. It's, you know, he scored a touchdown, so, you know. The receiving touchdown, of course, goes to, only Greg Dortch. What do you think of this Dortch guy? It'll be we'll talk about him in a bit. We got Khalil Herbert. Let's take a look at his stats. I don't know why he's the shine has kind of gone off him because of this offense. But David Montgomery, 15 carries, 122 yards. He's still doing it, man.
Yeah, Montgomery looked very good last night. He looked like a man on a mission yesterday. And you know, Herbert played well, but Montgomery, you know, he took over that backfield last night. And, you know, even though they're trying to keep the ball away from, you know, Rodgers and company, they didn't exceed enough. But Montgomery was very good. I'm surprised Herbert's even an option. But, I mean, he's a backup. And if Montgomery does get hurt, you know, Herbert played well enough that he could make some damage out there.
Of course, it was the other side, Aaron Jones, that was a big game.
Oh, yeah. Wow, he looks great.
Yep. Moving right along. Tyrion Davis Price of the 49ers. So, yeah, let's just take a look at him for a bit. He's kind of an outsider, kind of like the guy you were kind of a sleeper pick. Well, a late round kind of guy. But now, Tyrion Davis Price, 14 carries. You kind of got to look at that. Even though Jeff Wilson got 18 carries, 84 yards, you kind of got to look at that usage there.
Right. Well, did you hear the latest news on him? Is that for the high ankle sprain?
Yes. So yeah. that might be, yes, that's right. That's in the news too, isn't it? I came across that.
Yeah. So he's going to be, high ankle sprains are, you know what to deal with. So who knows what long he's going to be out for. So that changes everything in that 49ers back. Jordan Mason, who didn't get a touch. He's probably going to be the backup to Jeff Wilson now. And Jeff was, Wilson played very well. But another guy that we shouldn't forget about is Marlon Mack. He got signed, and he's on the practice squad of the 49ers.
Ooh.
So he's a little deep pickup there for you. Just something you could stash. Hopefully people forgot about him in your league. You could throw him on your roster, and you never know. Mitchell will be gone for 8 weeks, so you never know. Take a shot. But Pierce looked okay when he played. He saw goal line opportunities. He had he's not really a PPR guy, but he did okay.
We talked about Eno Benjamin, number 7 RB on the Fantasy Pros list. They've got Tyler Allgeier. Allgeier, is it? Allgeier? I don't know how to play. See, Alligator. 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 Allgeier. Yeah, okay. So, anyways, he is the clear number 2 to Cordero, obviously.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. You kind of have to pick up these running backs. Running backs are at a premium. And Allgeier, because we saw how Cordell Patterson started slowing down as the season got later. Mm-hmm. He gets tired. He's getting on. So
there's a lot of punishment.
Yeah, he does. He takes a lot of punishment. Some interesting names, some well-known names. Kenneth Gainwell, of course, is always, he's always someone to pick up. I'm playing him tonight, as a matter of fact, in the Scott Fishbowl. Rashad White, we got here. Dennis, Rashad White, what'd he get? I don't know why he's on that list. He only got 2 attempts for 1 yard for Tampa Bay. Boy, it was quite a game. Brady was awful.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was letting people hear about it too. He was very vocal on the sidelines. You see him ranting and raving out there. He was a little pissed off, to say the least, But yeah, I mean, I think White is he's a clear handcuff to Fournette. Fournette's he's gets beat up a lot. They give him a lot of carries, a lot of passes. And White is, he earned 20% targets that yesterday, and he's a capable 3-down back, and he's somebody you could stash in your bench, sure. Yeah, open run. Waste a roster spot, pick him up, throw him on your roster, and you never know what could happen. I worry about that offensive line in Tampa Bay. They're definitely not playing well, and they got a lot of people injured. They can't keep Brady upright. So, that's a problem for the whole offense right now.
I don't know. I still see Fournette breaking into the open quite a bit. Of course, they're feeding him the ball like mad. 24 carries. Yeah. but only 65 yards. That don't look good.
Yeah.
On 24 carries. You got to have him. If any a guy's going to be getting fed the ball that much, but I think they would kind of expect, I think maybe that's why, they've got Rashad White as a pickup on the, he's number 9 on the list here. Yeah. So
good handcuff to have.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anybody else on this list that we want to talk about, but we're going to take a break in the action and see what Davis Peng has to say. Here we go with Peng's picks.
Peng's picks with Davis Peng.
Hey everybody, this is Davis Peng, writer for Fantasy Six Pack, and this is my Peng's Picks segment for Week 2. Main takeaways, I want nothing to do with the New York Giants wide receiver core. Daniel Jones has been playing absolutely terrible. Wide receiver core is also terrible. Put the combination together and just get a bunch of roster cloggers, a bunch of zeros. Outside of Sterling Shepard and maybe a deep PPR league, I cannot roster any of these guys. On the flip side of them, their opponents, the Carolina Panthers, Baker Mayfield has been absolutely terrible. DJ Moore has shown minor signs of life. I'm going to downgrade him to wide receiver 3. In the meanwhile, maybe a flex play. I would continue to roster him. I would continue to use him because we do know he's at least very talented. As long as he gets targets, he'll be able to make some. But if you need replacement, I would start looking towards the New York Jets wide receivers. I think Garrett Wilson is great. Elijah Moore has a fantasy relevant. Davis back to back. He's a boom bust play, but guess what? That is so much more value than other seconds. So I would start looking at the Jets, Anders, Jahan Dotson. There's a DJ Shark Lion, right? So I would say avoid Panthers, avoid Giants. Other takeaways, Brandon Ayuk is now going to be downgraded to fish starting. But guess what? That's not the world threat. Jimmy G has made Brandon Ayuk top end of last year. You know, we were hoping for a wide receiver one season out of Brandon Ayuk and Trey Lance. Due to the injury, I feel like we have to downgrade and make him not as a wide receiver, wide receiver forward. But that is still fantasy relevant. You know, let's fleece you in or convince you to drop, okay? Kyle Pitts, the guy not to go on. Back-to-back bad weeks. Cordarrelle Patterson, a great week last week. One great week this week. But guess what? All you need to know is that players have great weeks on the team. Kyle Pitts will eventually get his. Some talent is there. Marcus Mariota is not as bad as Daniel Jones, Bacon. So continue to watch your Kyle Pitts. Do not get from either. And then last but not least, another takeaway for players I would not pick. K. Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett had a monstrous game and K. Metcalf would have been right behind. They're both great wide receiver, Pro Bowl, all pro level talent. I'm playing with G. Smith, sure, but they're going to be playing from behind. And at some point, they're going to have to really send up Smith's eventually. Metcalf had a 50-yard reception. At that, his numbers don't look so bad. Players I am panicking. Players that I want to get rid of the roster drop. First off, I think you have to trade him. It's basically a Nyheim Hines, but for round 4 draft, round 5. There's no value to him. James Robbins is the guy. Etienne is at best a very desperate flex. I don't know. He could find value for a team that someone that thinks they might get value for Bonham. Follows up with Chase Edmonds. Out snapped by Rush. His Edmonds was not too great. The Dolphins are not consistent running ball offense. I've never been for the longest time, and I get it. Coach staff, all that little stuff, but some teams never do it. The Dolphins are one. Move on from Chase Edmonds. Try to trade him if possible. Last but not least, Russell Gage. For the love of God, drop him. This sucks to have him. He hasn't put enough. I had high hopes for him coming into the season. He's not held up to it. Like I said, of guys, grab. And that's it for my week 2 Pang's Pick segment.
Wow. I had my pen just flowing there to take notes on what on what Davis was said. He says he does not like those Giants receivers. Don't blame him. There's really no one you can trust. he's absolutely right. I can't find anything. And he's souring on DJ Moore. He's downgrading him. You know, he did score a touchdown, though. But you know what? Yeah. He's kind of like the forgotten man. And I mentioned it in on our Slack chat. And I said, DJ Moore is kind of the forgotten man in fantasy. A lot of people believe in DJ Moore. But I could never latch on to him. Especially on the Panthers, where you kind of have a guy like Christian McCaffrey on there who's kind of the centerpiece. And it's kind of like Derrick Henry on the Titans, where he's a centerpiece, and it kind of just, you couldn't get a lot of good weeks out of AJ Brown, you know, when Brown was on the team. And it's kind of like with DJ Moore here. Plus also, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Baker Mayfield, but you know, there are some other problems, and plus he's getting you know, also the deep threat guy comes in to Robbie Anderson yeah. Was the guy I'm trying to think of. What's your thoughts on DJ Moore? Are you souring on him too?
Yeah, I mean, I like the talent, but the circumstances he's involved with in Carolina worries me enough that, you know, the draft capital that he was going at, it's hard for me to take him. Yeah, I worry about, you know, Baker was an upgrade over Darnold, but he's not that much of an upgrade that he would make me choose more higher than he would have been selected. If that makes sense. So
yeah.
Plus, you know, Matt Rhule is the coach. He's freaking horrible. If he lasts the year, I'd be surprised. He's just an idiot. I don't know what he's doing out there, but you know, they gotta give McCaffrey the ball more. And, try to limit Mayfield's involvement in the offense. Let McCaffrey, you know, run into the ground if they have to. They keep, you know what I mean? But that's another story. But I think Moore is talented, but it's hard to, I was hard to take him at the draft capital he was going at.
Yeah, he's on the wrong team. He looks and plays like a WR1, but he's on the wrong team.
Yeah, they're a very talented receiver. That's why, you know, he flashes a lot. You know, like, you know, he scored a touchdown, he flashed, but how consistent is that going to be? I mean, that's the flip a coin on that one.
It's kind of the situation Allen Robinson, kind of got into when he went to the Bears. It's,
yeah, I agree.
And even now when he's with the Rams, I'm starting to have my doubts. Though he did score a touchdown, so but yeah, he wasn't. But he wasn't.
Come around.
He wasn't heavily. He wasn't heavily involved. But
no. But I mean, they started off with throwing the ball a couple of times, and they're going to pepper him with targets, and then they just went away from him.
Yeah.
And they go, of course, it's hard to get away from Cooper Kupp. Robinson wasn't really a factor in the second half of the game. It was kind of surprising. Payne was, Davis, had a lot of good points in his thing. Chase Edmonds, we already talked about, kind of move over. He's not doing too much. And, James Robinson, coming back from that Achilles injury. I mean, he's a phenomenal out there. Etienne is looking like he's taking a very big backseat to Robinson right now.
Yeah. Some other people he mentioned that we talked about Chase Edmonds as well. Russell Gage, he wants to drop him. he probably owns him. That's why he's so angry.
right. The buyer's remorse there, I think.
Yeah, a little buyer's remorse. But he's saying don't panic on Kyle Pitts or DK Metcalf. And I suppose, it is, like we say, September, don't panic in September.
Yeah, try not to.
So
get nervous about Pitts, but I'll keep my faith.
Righty. So
we should hit those receivers. First one on the list is the obvious pick, Garrett Wilson. Holy crap, did he look? He looked great against the Browns. I mean, he should be the top priority, I think, regardless of position. 14 targets, had 100 yards, scored a game-winning touchdown. The only thing I worry about with him is what happens when Zach Wilson comes back. That's the only thing I worry about.
Chemistry is a funny thing.
Yeah. I mean, he has it with Flacco, but who knows what's going to happen when Zach Wilson returns. That offense is kind of surprisingly kind of clicking with Flacco. Everything's working, right? Zach Wilson comes back. Yeah, I mean, he's had moments, but he has moments with...
I like it, but he's definitely, you look at Elijah Moore, five targets to 14 targets. I mean, that's not doing it, so...
Yeah.
I mean, even Corey Davis ahead of Elijah Moore. Man, not good.
And the weapons on that offense, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they have, Moore and Wilson, and then the running back combo of Carter and Breece Hall. I mean, they got some weapons there. Even the tight end, even Coughlin played well. I mean, Uzama wasn't there, but Coughlin played well in his apps. So if they can get the ball rolling and Flacco can keep it upright, or Zach Wilson returns with better play, it's scary of offense. So.
We all know about Dotson of the Commanders.
Him and Wentz have a nice little chemistry going.
Another good game from Wentz, too. He started off terrible, though.
Oh, yeah, he looked horrible. I'm like, oh, man, he's going back to the old Wednesdays, And then all of a sudden, he's just throwing touchdown after touchdown and, led that team back. And he was, Dotson scored again after scoring twice in week one. And, I mean, he led the team in snaps. I mean, he's looking like, him and Curtis Samuel are looking great out there.
Yep. Jacoby Myers. I'm just going to take a look at his stats here. I hate looking at stats through the game by game, but that's the way you got to do it. Kind of helps if you get your player name straight. Yeah, 95 yards. That's pretty good. And Matt Jones had a little better. Well, no, he didn't really. I don't consider a 79. I don't consider a 79 a good rating. But
no, not at all.
I can't argue with what we saw out of Nelson Aguilar. I don't really count it. Well, he had 6 targets and 110 yards and a touchdown, but. Jacoby Myers, by far was the most targeted, 13 targets. Yeah. And that's why he's, Aguilar is probably on this list, but he's probably way down there. No, he isn't.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's not on that list. I mean, he only had that one huge play where he made a great catch, jumping over the defender and scoring a long bomb. But otherwise, he's nowhere to be found in the fantasy. I mean, he's going to get picked up by probably inexperienced players, but yeah, don't fall. Please, I really have Myers than him, and Myers, he's the only PPR heavy, receiver to pick up.
Yep.
If, only full PPR, I think you'd take a chance of him as maybe a third wideout or something. But so like you said, Matt Jones does not look good. Stats prove it. The offense was kind of out of sync as well. I mean, I don't know what's going on with that offense, but you got Matt Patricia calling players, and that's probably why. I don't understand that either. But, the Patriots' offense does not look good once.
No. Traylon Burks is playing, so we can't really talk about him, but I think he's on the list because of, well, from what I saw, like, at the beginning of the game, you know, it was the opening play of the game, he caught a pass for first down, so, trying to get him involved, you know, so, they're waiting for some bodies to get back. Russell Gage! Russell Gage, number five, what? These experts, these fantasy pros, you guys, hey, you fantasy pros, guys, listen up, man. Listen to Davis Ping. He'll tell you. He's
yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking, I was looking at that. I'm thinking, like, why would it be on? The only thing I could think of why he would be on there is because, you know, Evans gets suspended and Chris Godwin and Julio are hurt. You know, they missed week two. Who knows if they're coming back this week? And who's going to be the receivers for Brady? I mean, Brett Perriman and Gage.
Well, I mean, Perriman caught a touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, a nice little bomb catch. Yeah.
I put him in as a late sleeper when I was thinking that, I wasn't sure of Mark Ingram, so I changed my sleeper in the blurb view quite late. And I says, well, Perriman as a sleeper, because I had it as a feature game. Yeah, because
now, right?
Well, yeah, I do now. Yeah, but maybe a lot of people, who read it probably thought, oh, he put that in afterward just to make himself look good.
Yeah,
but I didn't. I can assure you, people, I did that. I did it prior to the game, prior to the, you know, I didn't do it. You know, honest. I don't screw around with. Okay, Joshua Palmer, Robbie Anderson, Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I don't get that either. But,
Yeah, remember we were talking in the preseason about, you know, Chiefs wide receivers, who to take out of the receivers. It looks like it's really nobody. I mean, no one's really stepped up. I mean, everyone gets a little piece of the pie there, but no one's really, you know, taking over that number one or even number two option behind Kelsey in that offense right now. I mean, everyone's getting a little bit of the piece and that's it, which is kind of, you know, kills your fantasy team. But even Mahomes said that, you know, fantasy players are going to hate that. Every week will be somewhat different. And it's so far as held true. That's why
I think
it's hard to take someone. I mean, if you need someone, you know, down the road when we get by, we start, you know, start hampering your lineup, then maybe take a shot at them in good matchups. But otherwise it's hard to start them every week when you don't know who's going to do what week, you know, it's hard to do that.
Yeah. And I was afraid of this too. And I noticed this about rookies and, on the Chiefs, you know, the coach. He did this with Kelsey too, and he does this a lot with rookies. I'm talking about Andy Reid here. He doesn't like to give the rookies the keys to the house. Like, I mean, he likes to wear them in. He did that with Kelsey too. I remember when Kelsey was a rookie, he was reluctant to let Kelsey go, and then the next season he was fine. So I think, and now I'm sort of getting into, like, I'm talking about Pacheco and Sky Moore here, because we're not seeing a whole lot. Well, you see, the only time you see Pacheco is like in garbage time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So. And I think that's the only time you're going to see Sky Moore. So, I don't even see Sky Moore. Didn't even catch a thing. So if you got Sky Moore on your, roster, you might be waiting till late in the season. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe sooner, but, just doesn't seem like, well, seven targets. I mean, it's better than Juju. Hello, Dennis.
Come back.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah,
hello. Yeah.
The buttons hit the wrong button.
Oh, you hit the wrong button.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
We were talking about Sky Moore and, Pacheco and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Okay. Yeah. He got seven targets, but, where's Juju?
Yeah. Now my pick of Juju. This one.
I told you he'd be a bust. I told you.
Yes, you did. Give you credit.
It's early though. I'm not going to say I told you so yet. Just yet. But
soon, though.
He's trending in the right direction. He's definitely on, he's definitely on bust alert right now.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I mean, who knows what that, yeah, every week will be a different guy. And maybe you want to take that, just playing arena roulette wheel on that one. See who's going to succeed every week. It's kind of hard to play that way in fantasy, but try not to.
Yeah, and I don't know how Woods is doing. He's on bust alert as well. He only got two targets last week. I don't know how he's doing today. We'll find out. Because Woods was another guy on my bust list.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I wouldn't trust Tannehill, so I wouldn't be surprised if Woods is not going to succeed over there.
It's probably even a... that's the way it is. We could go through the rest of this list. We will post this, but we've got to talk about a few guys. Can you believe Noah Brown's this far down?
I'm surprised by that.
I mean, know something that I don't. I mean, this is updated. These are waiver rankings that are like, there's about a dozen guys that are ranking here, and this is our pros, and wow, I mean, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm surprised they don't have faith in him yet. I mean, he has the chemistry with Rush. He has 10 catches for 159 yards, a score through 2 weeks. And no Gallup, Michael Gallup's still not playing. And now you got Schultz that's injured. I mean, that's Noah Brown and CeeDee Lamb are going to be the go-to guys out there. So he's going to get the ball. I'm not sure why they're not including him more involved in the waiver wire and somewhere that I'll be looking to pick up. Some of my leads is a nice stash option and maybe some you could play right away depending on, you know, matchups and stuff. But we'll see.
It could be targets. I mean, but he caught all his targets. He was targeted 5 times and caught it 5 times, 91 yards, touchdown. And one of them was a 28-yarder. But CeeDee Lamb, of course, he's the man, right? 11 targets.
Yeah.
But you're right, Gallup. They might have him a little bit shifted down because Gallup is pending return, so...
Yeah, I worried about every week. It's like he's getting better, but still have yet to see him. So hopefully, he's a good ball player. I will see him soon.
I see they have Rondale Moore on the list, number 13.
Yeah.
You know what? I kind of like this Dortch guy.
Yeah, he's actually been producing over there. Obviously, he's doing well. And, you know, I think, you know, if he's available, you know, while Moore is out, I mean, he's delivering so far. I think you have to take a shot at him in deep leagues. So, you know, maybe your flex option, maybe in a deep league, in PPR leagues, worth a shot.
So I don't know. I don't know how far beyond the curve these guys think they're looking, but they got Romeo Doubs there at WR19. Rogers is still kind of upset with Christian Watson and Doubs. I don't think he doesn't like his young guys. I think his young guys are letting him down. And I mean, they won. They beat the Bears, so it might make Rogers a little more happy. He's turned into a real grump.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, he doesn't like all the. I mean, he likes drama, but doesn't like it when guys don't produce for him. He gets a little, he starts pouting, and then they don't get the ball, and then causes commotion on the offense, you know. So it makes it harder. But, you know, one player that's on this list that I can't believe is on here. It doesn't make sense to me. Among other players, but this one really sticks out. Kadarius Toney. Why is he on this list?
Oh, yeah, the Giants. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey,
I mean, I can see Davis. Shepard, maybe. Yeah. But. You know, maybe Shepard. I mean, he does produce. I mean, he's someone that maybe is a good fill-in option, you know, in deeper leagues when you start, you know, 3 flexes or something like that. I could see maybe him, but Kadarius Toney, what has he done? I mean, he hasn't
nothing.
Done crap.
I don't know why he's on that list. You're right. What other Giants? Oh, Richie James was kind of an interesting guy. I didn't mind him. Produced. Yeah, he's produced more than Kadarius Toney. They haven't got Richie James on there.
He's the last guy.
Oh, he's the last guy. Okay, 22. There he is. Yeah.
22. Yeah, 22.
Right.
Yeah, I don't get that at all.
Yeah. And Doubs, you know what? Take a listen to this. Like, this is the target share. This shows you what Rogers thinks of these guys. It's not too bad. Here's the target share here for, Doubs, 3 targets, Watson, 3 targets, 9 yards out of it. And, at least Watson caught all his targets. But he's starting to find, I guess the guy he's finding most is Sammy Watkins through the air. So.
But you know what they're doing, though, is on, you know, for Watson, they're throwing, I mean, if you want to call it a throw or a so-called pass, but they're doing like little, you know, little shuffle passes to him across the line of scrimmage. That's where they're counting passes. I mean, he hasn't done anything.
No.
Past that thing line of scrimmage, so he's not really doing anything. Plus, you see the one where they fumble the ball, and it actually hit Watson in the hip, and a bad snap. Rodgers just gave him like this dirty glare, and I'm like, oh boy,
last
time we're gonna see Watson the rest of the game, because that was the end of him for a while. So I mean, he is not.
He's playing with a bunch of kids. I mean, like,
yeah, he is.
Even Lazard, you know, even though Lazard scored 3 targets. I mean, two receptions for 13 yards and a touchdown. I mean, basically that yardage came from the touchdown, most of it.
Right. You got to think with the way they're running the ball and Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
Just running through that defense like they were even there. I mean, they're opening holes for him. He was just playing out of his mind yesterday. I mean, Dylan played good too, but Jones was just, he couldn't be stopped. He was playing so good that
Dylan actually outcarried him 18-15.
Yeah. Right. He looked awesome. I mean, I've always been a Dylan fan, but if Jones has his games like that, that you like, why don't they give him the ball more? You know, and the next game, they'll give Dylan the ball. And then, they just keep flip-flopping.
Yeah, that's the problem, man. You don't know. It's a mix and match thing.
Right.
Let's go to the tight ends. We're getting close to the end of the show. Top tight end for the Washington Commanders. See, I didn't fall for that trap.
Gotta get it right.
Yeah, I know. You know what? It was easier to say the Washington football team.
Agreed.
It was easier not to screw up by saying that. But when you got to say Washington, you got to catch yourself.
Yeah.
Because you know what? If somebody screws up on that, I don't care. Good old Logan Thomas.
I'm not too. I mean, he's a streaming option. I mean, they already have plenty of weapons there. We already talked about. So adding him is another option. I mean, it's not bad as a second streamer, but otherwise, I'm not taking a chance.
If you lost Dalton Schultz, would you take Logan Thomas?
Yeah, I can see doing that. Yeah.
Is there anybody better on here? Wouldn't you much rather have Mike Gesicki the way Tua's playing?
No, I do not want Mike. No. I think that was totally based upon game script for Miami because, going into the season, I consider Gesicki a bust because he can't block, number one. I mean, I know he's a pass. We're talking about fantasy, but, in that new offense, they want their tight ends to block, and he can't. So the only time he's on the field is when they're in passing situations. And, of course, being down 28-7 at halftime causes a lot more passing, obviously. So he was on the field, and between Hill and Waddle, getting more of the targets, he's like at least third, at best, third fiddle on that offense. And he's not going to get the ball as much as he did. And I mean, when he went 4 for 41 in the TD, but he's not going to get the ball much there. So I'd shy away from picking up Sick.
Yeah. Well, he's probably a better flex than I can tell you. You know who's a real bust? And it's a guy you wouldn't expect and a guy you kind of hoped. And he probably got drafted by a few people as a late. Middle to late draft. DJ Chark. He's on Detroit. Chark had four targets and didn't get a yard.
I know, that crazy. How's that happen?
Well, it's because Ross St. Brown's so good, right?
I know. I'm just somewhat sarcastic.
And Reynolds, I liked Reynolds as one of the Reynolds. There's two of them. There's two of them on there. Josh and Craig.
Yeah, we know Josh had. He played with Goff and with the Rams, so he has a little bit of rapport with them. So he would. Yeah, he's still an option. But Chark, he was looked upon as a sleeper going into the season, and he hasn't done much, obviously, yet. So we'll see what he can do the rest of the season. But I'm not saying Bron's taking over the helm over there.
Yeah. Are there any other tight ends we need to talk about, Dennis? I don't know. Is there? You pick one. This list really, really sucks.
Yeah,
I could think of better. Why don't you do the rankings of the week? They only give you a few. I think the problem is they only give you a few. I've done the waiver rankings before, and they only give you a set. They don't allow you to go off the list.
No, that's not good.
I don't think they do. I'm not sure on that. Don't hold me to it, but.
Yeah, let's take a look at that and see. I think we have, because we're rankers, I think we have the opportunity to do waiver wire ranks. We'll have to check it out this week.
Yeah, we can.
Just to take a shot and see where we can go with it.
Yeah, maybe we should. Maybe we should. And just to straighten up these. these guys, man. It's like, okay, waiver wire rankings. Who we got here? This is kind of important. Who's doing them? And these are guys that updated. These guys have updated these, like, just the 19th, just yesterday. Andrew Erickson, one of the in-house guys. Kev Wheeler, the 33rd. Derek Brownie's another in-house. Pat Fitzmaurice, well-known in-house guy there. Matthew Friedman, another in-house.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Yates, you know him.
Yeah, former Fantasy Pros guy. Yeah,
former Fantasy Pros. And he also, I'm not sure if he was on... No, I'm thinking of a different guy. I'm thinking of a different Yates. All right. Bart Wheeler, Hail to Fantasy Football. Jeff Bogus. It's mostly Fantasy Pros guys that are ranking these, and man, their rankings, they leave a lot to be desired. Of course, they've been updated since I downloaded them, so it might be a little different. Let me just check. They still got Ryan Monster to the top. Oh, they've added your guy Marlon Mack.
There you go. See, they put Flacco in there too.
I will see. Flacco not on the list.
See how they are.
Yeah,
not doing it right.
Not doing it right, and yeah, everything basically looks the same, more or less. Logan Thomas, yeah, the list is exactly the same except for the running backs. They did add Marlon Mack as number 15, ranked 15th, which is not. I mean, it's fine, but I guess when you're ranked, but Eno Benjamin, come on, got to pick up Mostert, not Eno, Eno Benjamin.
You know, I mean, these tight ends are kind of hard to fathom picking up. But I mean, if you're streaming, maybe just look for matchups each week, and that's why a lot of my leagues, I try to bite the bullet and pick a top tight end, so I have to deal with the crap during the year. So this is you're looking at these options, Hayden Hurst, Gesicki, even Ingram. He's actually looked pretty decent. I hate to say, because I've always been an Ingram hater, but he's actually produced with Lawrence there in Jacksonville. Tanya hasn't done anything. Tyler Coughlin needs him well yesterday. That's what I was on my point. So maybe Uzama's not in there. You take a chance at Coughlin again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're playing from behind, so they had to pass the ball a lot more. So that's probably why he got four targets than he probably would ever get the rest of the year. Irv Smith, I mean, he's a decent option, but they got a lot of weapons there in Minnesota. You're not going to, unless something unfortunately happens to Andrews, likely he's not going to do much there at the bottom. So your options are very limited at tight end. So I stream. That's all you could do.
Yeah, stream. Just going to take a look and see how the scores are coming down. I don't care if I know the score. Oh, maybe I do. Do I? I don't know. I like to kind of not know the score of the games. Maybe I should know. This is getting late. I got to get Ted up for school. So anyways, we are at the end of the Fantasy Edge for week 3. Not week 2. We are week 3 of Fantasy Edge. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. I'm Richardsville for Dennis Sozick and Davis Peng. See you next week.